John 5, starting at verse 31. Jesus speaking, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Well, in a court setting, it's obvious that it's very serious and necessary that witnesses tell the truth. After all, if there is a conviction of a crime or not based on testimony given, it can mean the difference between years in prison or freedom. It can mean freedom or the death penalty in a murder case. Therefore, in our judicial system, witnesses are sworn in. They are put under oath to tell the truth, and swearing to do so is supposed to help ensure that only the truth will be declared. And yet, some will break the law, committing perjury, which is certainly against God's law, as in the 10th or 9th commandment, and is so condemned by him, bearing false witness. Oh, how great then is the need of witnesses to believe regarding the one way of eternal salvation. To escape the punishment of hell, we must know the way of acceptance with God and what we are to believe. Yes, you and I, we must each be assured of the truth of the gospel, of course, even through witnesses. Well, Jesus speaks here of various means of witness to that all-important end. And first, we must believe true witnesses who have been heard. True witnesses who have been heard. Secondly, the sender of the witnesses. And thirdly, the scriptures. Again, Jesus made no boastful claim about himself. He just spoke the truth. And above all others, he was and is to be heard and believed. And so are other true witnesses who have lived on earth. Now, obviously, Christ came from heaven to be the greatest witness in the history of the world, and he should have been believed, trusted by all the people of Israel and by his opponents in our passage. Again, he had spoken truly as to his deity, as to doing God's will, giving eternal life to believers, and judging all mankind at the last day. However, to those who rejected him, his witness would not be true, Jesus said, verse 31. That is, that was their false estimation of what he said, because they were opposed to him already. It really didn't matter what he would say. They just said, that's not true. They can't believe that. Or perhaps they would disregard his words if there were no other witness to him. And they were wrong in all that thinking. Yet I suppose they might claim his testimony to himself was not valid or true in that sense. For you know, in the law of God, in Deuteronomy 19:15, for example, it states that there are to be two or three witnesses to establish any matter before the judges. Still, even in that case, Christ's witness to himself was valid, as he said later, John 8:13 and following, "For the Father was with him and bore witness to Jesus as well," as he declares here. The Father is he who bears witness through all the others, as in verse 32 here. Well, if the hearers thought Jesus meant John the Baptist as another witness, yes, he was one, and he reminded them of his testimony as well. What did John say? John said of himself, he was not the Christ. He pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away sin. He said he's the bridegroom of the church. He is the one who has the bride. He is the one who speaks God's words. He is the Son of God. He pointed to Jesus in all those ways, and they should have accepted that witness in true faith. Faith unto salvation. And however, Jesus said of himself he did not receive testimony from man, as he says it here. Meaning he did not rest his claims on that, what John said, what anyone else would say. But John's testimony still could point some to hear Jesus, as it did even with some of the apostles. And so our Lord spoke of John, that they may be saved, as he says. It was not to save himself from these persecutors that he spoke here. He knew he was going to the cross, and he intended to do that. He was going to do that in God's timing. Well, dear ones, what goodness of Christ is manifest here. What goodness of our Lord to accommodate all things then, and even to suffer hell on the cross for man's salvation. Oh, you and I must then truly surrender to him, receive him and his witness, receive salvation in him by God-given faith. That is the greatest need for all sinners, of course. So again, as for John in his life on earth, he says, he was a shining lamp that pointed to the Lord, even as a lamp, you know, we put that out at night, it's going to attract moths and so forth. Well, John attracted crowds around him for a time, crowds of the people of Israel. For a time, they rejoiced to hear him speak of a coming divine intervention on behalf of Israel. Now, even Herod Antipas, who arrested John for a while, says, heard him gladly, said in Mark chapter 6. Nonetheless, John's message included judgment on the unbelieving Jews and others. And so when he struck down their national or ethnic privilege, and he was severe in his own lifestyle and in his demands for their repentance, well, then many said he was demon-possessed. And no one came to his support when he was wrongly imprisoned and martyred. Well, fellow believers, you know it has been the same treatment for many, many Christian witnesses since. It could be so for others we know, could be so for us. Indeed, we have ministers in the RSUS who go to teach in places of danger, for example. And yet, the Word of our God, it must be proclaimed, it must be believed. It must go forth from those who have lived on earth and must be heeded. And like John, you and I are to be lights in the world. Jesus said we are so. Witnesses for Christ ourselves. And so praise be to God that true witnesses have been heard throughout the centuries. Even those who have sought God's honor. Now, verse 41, Christ's opponents may have imagined that if they just praised him in some way, he'd be satisfied. If they had done that instead of criticizing him for healing the lame man on the Sabbath, for rejecting his claims of equality with God, and so on. And yet, what does he say here? He said, he did not receive honor from man. That is, he did not seek glory from them. And clearly, they could not add to his glory as the God-man. And nor would he regard the praise of unbelievers as anything, of course. Oh, again, beloved, our Lord Jesus is too great and glorious to need or depend on man's opinion. But he truly sought to honor God the Father in all things. Likewise, your and my concern should not be if we are honored or dishonored, but we ought to be indignant, really, when God's honor is rejected, when he is dishonored and not heard. we should think of and value truth in that way. Be more like Jesus. Well, he said truly in verse 43 that he had come in the Father's name, that is with his authority, seeking his honor. In contrast, you know, unbelievers may only care much for man's opinion and honor from them, and that was the case with these. So they rejected Christ who had divine credentials. As Jesus said to them, the Jews did at times accept others who came in their own name. Verse 43. They know there were other false messiahs already who had come. Acts 5:36, Gamaliel speaks of that as a Thutis had risen and then a Judas of Galilee. But they, though they led others around or after them, they were still killed. And after Christ's ascension, there were others. In fact, one account of it is that there have been 64 false Christs up to the last century. Many who claim to be him. The Moonies, one cult group, have followed one who claimed to be Christ also. Well, our Lord Jesus knew that would be the case, obviously. So he said in verse 43 that these men received honor from one another, but they did not seek honor from God. If you remember, even the name Jew from Judah means praised. And the unbelieving among them sought praise from men constantly. That was one of the judgments of the Pharisees and the rabbis there as hypocrites. You said they stood on street corners to pray and so forth, one of the best seats in the synagogues, all of those things to receive honor from men. Yet as in Romans 2:29, Paul said, a true Jew is one whose praise is not from men, but from God. And truly the Jews confronting Christ, they might say, oh, we pray every day, you know, we pray. They prayed supposedly to the only true God twice a day. As a matter of course. And yet the reality in their hearts and their lives, as he said, was that they did not love God, even though that was commanded to Israel, as in Deuteronomy 6:4 and following, and quoted by Jesus in Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. These opponents of Jesus certainly did not do that. They just claimed their own worthiness to be heard. Instead, dear ones, let us give thanks to our God for the many true witnesses that we have known who have sought God's honor. And when we trust in Jesus, we have redemption, cleansing from all our sins, and so have honor from God in that way by His grace alone. And that approval, dear ones, is better than anything else you and I could imagine that we want in this world, certainly. And so it must be to us. Indeed, let each one then glory in the grace of Jesus, nothing else. And praise God that we are counted even as His children through faith in Christ. Let us believe the true witnesses to our Lord, those we have heard also. Second, we must believe the sender of the witnesses. Again, verse 32, God the Father is the true witness behind all others. For the Father sent Jesus and gave him his works to do and testifies to him in the Scriptures. And so to believe the Father will mean accepting God's words and, or his works and words. Jesus had something greater than John's testimony. He said the works that he was given to do, they were evidence that the Father had sent him. He would certainly finish. He would accomplish them. He would finish the atoning work even at his cross. His miracles, you know, they all pointed to his identity as God incarnate who would do this. And yet the unbelieving Jews, they refused. Simply refused to accept that his miracles were God's testimony to him. Now we see that as we go through John and the other Gospels again and again. They're saying, what sign will you do that we may know that you're telling the truth? If you claim to be the Christ, what sign it, even after he had done many signs? But they would not believe, and that would be to their condemnation if they would not repent. Well, Christ's miracles before his resurrection, you know, they were not as important as his words. And those miracles, they cannot produce faith themselves, yet they should strengthen faith in those trusting His Word. For again, the Father had testified to Christ in both His works and words. Yet in all this, with all the plain evidence supporting Jesus, that would be rejected. It will continually be rejected by sinners unless the Spirit of God gives them faith. And so we must pray for others to receive that in Christ. Otherwise, they will not believe. And so Jesus confronted these regarding the Father, saying, "You have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form." Well, yeah, they did not hear the Father's voice at Christ's baptism as John did. Yet this is probably really a rebuke that they refused the Word of the Lord. They refused to acknowledge the voice of God and the form of God in Jesus being God in the flesh. And so, as Calvin said, they were utterly estranged from the knowledge of God. Oh, you see, the Father had testified of His Son. The real problem was that they were spiritually deaf and blind to His Word. It did not abide in their hearts since they had rejected Jesus already. Therefore, they rejected God's ambassador, as it were, the one sent with the Father's message. And they were unable to believe, having a veil of unbelief on their heart, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:15. Well, like that, for all the unbelieving, the only deity they worship is one they have invented, the God, the idol of their hearts. And indeed, you and I and all people must rather believe, receive Jesus Christ, trust Him as our Lord and Savior. Otherwise, we cannot believe or trust God, the sender of all true witnesses. But believing Him, the sender, means loving and obeying God. Yes, the real reason for the rejection of Christ was, as he said in verse 42, they did not have love for God, it can be understood there. Their motive was not love for God, but getting approval from men again. And so the unbelieving Jews did not truly want to obey from the heart. Even the Ten Commandments can be included in that, as they're based on love for God and man, as Jesus said. Yes, He said that when He was asked, what was the greatest commandment? And so it is, again, with all the unbelieving. Having only the sinful nature, they will only be prone to hate God and their neighbor, as our Catechism number 5 states it. They will hate God's holiness and undervalue His goodness, as said. Well, as for the Jews, you know, in the Old Testament times, God tested their love for Him, even with the call to obey Him. Moses said that in Deuteronomy 13. And he warned there of false prophets who would arise among them. He said in verse 3 and following, "You shall not listen to the words of that prophet, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and keep and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice." Oh, if they loved God, they would reject anything against His Word, of course. And so must you and I. If they loved God, they would trust Him. And these men would have trusted in Jesus, accepting the Father's testimony to His own Son in Christ's works and words. Yet lack of faith for God is always blinding. It's blinding, and so all those who do not surrender to Christ in all the world are blind in sin, as it were. And all should be warned. Well, when we have instead truly been brought into the light through faith in Jesus Christ, we believe the Father also. Of course we do then. Truly, dear ones, may you and I show more clearly that we do trust the divine sender of Christian witnesses. Yes, may we do that by showing greater love and obedience to our God, the triune God. And may others be drawn to Christ through us, beloved of God. Yes, thirdly, the witness we must believe is the Scriptures. Indeed, the Holy Scriptures, the inspired Old Testament Word of God, was given to Israel, and they had those writings which all point to Christ. Well, these religious leaders did study the Scriptures, as Christ maintained of them, verse 39. You study the Scriptures. Oh, yes, you do. However, they were blind to their ultimate meaning in Christ. They thought they had eternal life through having the Scriptures. They relied, though, on their own obedience to Scripture and the animal sacrifices that they brought as commanded there. They thought the law, then, was an end in itself. Now, we have done these things what God said. He must accept us, therefore. I thought the law was an end in itself rather than showing the necessity of God's grace and a Savior to come. They did not see the testimony to Jesus there as the Messiah and Savior from sin. You know, if they had seen Him foretold in so many ways, think of even Isaiah 53, that He is the Lamb of God who suffered for His people. If they had seen that and trusted Him instead of their own supposed righteousness, then they would have eternal life. For as Jesus said, Moses wrote of Him as the Savior God would send. However, they did not really believe those words in the books of Moses. Again, you can think of some of the ways that Christ was foretold there. In Genesis 3, He would be the seed of the woman to defeat Satan. In Genesis 22, He would be the substitute for sinners, as God would provide the lamb for sacrifice. In Genesis 49, the ruler from Judah He would be. In Deuteronomy 18, the prophet like Moses. And yes, in all the history of Israel, the types and sacrifices and prophecies, in all of that, the Jews should have seen Christ as the needed Savior. All the Old Testament pointed to Him. So if these men had really longed for God's forgiveness and everlasting life with Him, they would now be trusting in Jesus. Well, certainly, brothers and sisters, you and I must know Christ through the Scriptures, through the very Word of God. We must know Him in their foretelling of Him, in the fulfillment recorded of Him, and the doctrines of Christ. We must speak of Him accordingly. Well, as for those rejecting Him in our passage, it was that they were not willing, Jesus said, verse 40, not willing to surrender to Him, not willing to come to Him. It was willful ignorance of Him in that way. Oh, think though of how many ever since have been unwilling to submit to Christ as their own Savior and Lord and have life in Him. They would rather go their own way in their pride and so-called self-righteousness. Indeed, all should be warned here as these who did not accept the Christ foretold and pointed to in the Old Testament. In the hardness of their hearts, they rejected the Son of God, in whom alone is found eternal life. And that is the way of sinful man ever since, always. But let each one instead hold to the Scriptures as the path to life with God and as a light to direct us. We have God's Word to hear and study, to read and study even in our own homes as well as in church. Oh, beloved God, what a privilege, really. What a privilege to do that. When the very witness of God is there in our hands, before our eyes, and proclaimed in our ears. Let no one take the Scriptures for granted, but believe their witness. Let us surrender ourselves to Christ in that true faith. For those who will not do so, Jesus warned of the Scriptures which accuse unbelief. Well, the unbelieving hearers may have doubted that Jesus really desired for sinners to have salvation, as He said in verse 34. They may have thought He only wanted to accuse them. But truly he did have compassion for the lost, and he did not need to accuse them further as unto God, for they were already shown as guilty in rejecting him. And so the context again is that they had accused him of breaking the Sabbath, healing the man, that law given through Moses, but he had not broken it by healing on that day. And he would not go further to accuse them, but he said the very words of Moses accused them. Indeed, these leaders of Israel had boasted repeatedly, you know, as in chapter 9, verse 28, we are Moses' disciples. We follow him. They were always appealing to the writings of Moses as if they followed those scriptures. They claimed to hold to the written law as being more certain than anyone's words. But in practice, they put their own oral law and additions to it first. In any case, the law given through Moses, it could not save sinners and give eternal life. The sacrifices of the law there could not do that. But the law exposed their sins and so prepared the way for the Savior. If only they would heed. But without faith, they relied on their own obedience, as I say, and rejected the only priest Jesus foretold there, the one who alone could atone for sin. Oh, how terrible then that for most of Israel, it came to pass as Jesus warned, as he warned in the parable of the rich man and the beggar in Luke 16:31. He said, if the Jews did not believe Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded though one rise from the dead. And so most saints have not believed when that very thing happened with Jesus on the third day. Well, as our Lord said here last, if you do not believe Moses, believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Old writings, what is in black and white, we can sometimes think that's most serious. That's certain to be believed. They could think those writings were most certain, but they did not believe what was foretold there of the Christ. So they would wrongly see his words spoken as less important yet. Well, as Matthew Henry wrote, their mouths were stopped for the present, but their hearts were hardened. You see, if we deny the scriptures, all is lost. All is lost. Certainly, that's to be a warning that should be heeded by everyone. To be heeded by liberal churches and pastors where they may say little according to the scriptures, and yet they may say much from their own thoughts and their embellishments, as I've seen that, or according to the ungodly culture. Oh, beloved of God, many people in this world, you know, profess faith in Jesus outwardly, and yet in their lives they don't even intend to follow Christ, to follow the word of the Lord. But let us instead hold to, follow, trust God's word, follow the scriptures always. For indeed, you know, the Father sends true witnesses with his word into the world, and he testifies in and to Christ. And so may his grace and his spirit empower us, each one, to be better witnesses to Jesus as well. Surely God will use believers everywhere to so testify to and on behalf of our blessed Lord and Savior. Let it be so with us more and more. Amen. And let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you. You are the God, again, who has revealed yourself. And certainly we know you've done that. Above all, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his coming into this world, in his perfect life and his sacrifice and his resurrection, he has ascended to heaven and is King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who will come at the last day. And you have sent forth true witnesses throughout all the history of mankind. We thank you for the scriptures, above all, that proclaim the truth of our God and the one way of redemption in Christ. May we be also then witnesses, that we would speak the truth in love, proclaim the gospel to others around us, and live it out. Yes, may many more be won to Christ in true salvation by hearing that word of truth and seeing it even lived out. We thank you that you are such a faithful God and Father. Forgive our sins when we do not prize and love and honor you and your word. May we instead follow after what you have said to us more and more to your honor and your glory. Again, we do pray. Forgive our sins, increase our faith, and direct us as your servants. And we do pray it for your honor and glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray to